It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to go inside the numbers on the Jets' latest draft picks, the 2024 draft class, with our friend who goes inside the numbers all the time, on a regular basis, in fact, over at NewYorkJets.com. Longtime beat reporter for the Bergen Record as well, Mr. Randy Lang. Randy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Always good to be here after a draft. That means I made it another year, and on we go towards the OTAs, the offseason, the training camp, and 24. Wow.
I was joking the other day that hopefully Will McDonald plays like a first-round pick this year since he's going to get more snaps. And then if Olufashanu, who was picked at number 11, doesn't play as much as a first-round pick generally would when they're picked at number 11, it won't sting as badly. And speaking of Fashanu, let's talk about him first. You had some really interesting stuff about him up at NewYorkJets.com. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was one of the tackles, one of the top tackles, I think, that the Jets and their fans thought was an option for them at number 10, which ended up being number 11, of course. So Fashanu definitely was, or Fashanu, I think we need to pronounce it because that's how he likes it. He likes Olu, though. He doesn't want to go with that Olumia thing. So Olu Fashanu, you know, he was one of the options. And then obviously Brock Bowers was another one that a lot of people liked. And I think the Jets liked him too, but ultimately decided not to go with him because he was there at 11 when they picked Fashanu. And then the other option was a wide receiver, and Adunze was gone. And, you know, they kind of, I think they knew, it sounded like Joe Douglas knew that a guy that they really liked in Malachi Corley was going to be available at some point on day two, and that they might be able to maneuver to get him, which they ultimately did. So all of that being said, Fashanu comes to the Jets, probably not as much experience as you'd want to see because I think he was injured 2 years ago at Penn State, missed games at the end of the year, but he played and he started 12 games this past year. And the number that, you know, I'm not sure what the provenance of the number is. It's on the Penn State bio for Fashanu, but he had something like 380 some odd pass block reps last year with the Nittany Lions, gave up no sacks. So you like to see that. You like to hear that. Is that, in fact, what he did, how he performed? Well, I would say possibly he might have given up a sack, but he didn't give up a lot. And the one thing that Olu admits to is he needs to improve his run blocking, which he works on all the time. But I do like also that he seems to be very versatile and very open-minded. He said during last year's weekly practices, not during the games, but at Penn State's practices during the week, he would work at right tackle as opposed to left tackle, or he would do both. But he did put in time at right tackle. And then in his combine prep, he worked at right tackle when he went down to his camp in I think it was Dallas. So he's got that experience a little bit, at least. He's not going to be going in cold if they say, all right, Morgan Moses is going to be out for the rest of the game. Go in, Olu. Take over the right side. So he can be ready for that. And Joe Douglas said, I think he'd play anywhere we told him to play. So you like that part of, you know, his versatility and his open-mindedness and his desire to be better. He wants to make himself and his teammates better. All of this is good. You like to hear it. Now, how does he fit in? for 24. Do you move him inside to guard for a year, which Dan Leberfeld, you and I talked about, good friend of mine, with Jets Confidential, said that's something they did with Jonathan Ogden, I think, went inside for 1 year before he became a great tackle. And could the same thing be in store for Olu? We don't know. That will all be revealed shortly. But as of right now, I think the key takeaway is Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh and the Jets said, we're not going to go with the fantasy football pick here. We're not going to go with Bowers. We're not going to go with the wide receiver who's next on our board. We're going to take that tackle, which we know we're going to need eventually, if not, you know, later, if not sooner, with, you know, Tyron Smith having those injury issues from 2016 on. He did put in 13 games in a number of those years, but that's still not a full season. But he's also had a couple of seasons when he missed the greater part of the season. I think it was in 20 and 22, maybe. So you've got Olu there ready to step in if needed. And if not, then he's going to learn from two of the very good tackles, one of the best tackles in the game, in Tyron Smith. And also Morgan Moses was so good that the Jets said, we shouldn't have let him go. We're going to bring him back. And they did that. So I got to think that the tackle situation for 24 and beyond is in good hands right now, with Olu Fashanu being drafted at number 11.
Randy, you brought up Malachi Corley before, the wide receiver out of Western Kentucky. I joked on the show when Jeff Nations, the sports editor at the Bowling Green Daily News, came on to talk about Malachi Corley, that the only people on earth more excited for the Malachi Corley pick than I was were Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, and Aaron Rodgers, which is a good sign. Tell me a little bit about what you wrote at NewYorkJets.com regarding the Yak King, Malachi Corley.
Yeah, the Yak King. I don't know that he definitely declared that that was his name or that he just embraced it. Probably he a little bit of both, but Malachi Corley at Western Kentucky had a fantastic yards after catch dimension. He just trying to find my numbers here. I remember that it was like something like 9 yards a catch, yards after the catch per catch, for his 259 career receptions with the Hilltoppers. I certainly wouldn't say that he's the equivalent of Brock Bowers, because they play different positions, different body types, but they do have some of the same elements to their game that Jet fans wanted to see out of Brock Bowers. One of them being yards after catch. He had a better yards after catch average than Brock Bowers did. Again, not to compare tight end and wide receiver, but the one thing that we need to see about Malachi is, can he move around the offense? It sounds like he can, although the number that I saw from Western Kentucky is that he put in something like 91% of his snaps in the slot in his time at Western Kentucky. So you got to say, well, all right, he needs to work at the X, at the Z. He needs to work out of the backfield. We want to see him in his full versatility. And he may not have shown that yet, and there's no reason to believe he can't show it, but we need to see him do those things out of those positions to show that he can be as versatile and as dangerous as it sounds like he can be. You know, he's got 4.45 speed, not the best burner of, you know, I forget who had the 4.29 this year, but, you know, those every year that number goes down, the best 40 time in combine history. But a 4.45, nothing to sneer at. And he had a 4.26-3 cone drill. If anybody knows the three cone timing, that's a decent time, real decent. And so these are some of the reasons why he was known as the Yak King. And let's see him yakety yak it up in the Jets offense this offseason, preseason, and regular season.
The Jets got the Yak King, and they got the running back that might punish the opposing defense is trying to get to Aaron Rodgers the most. Braylon Allen, big bruiser out of Wisconsin in the fourth round. It's funny because my friend Joe Blewett over at Jets X Factor tweeted out a clip of Braylon Allen just flattening a guy in pass protection. And Braylon Allen quote tweeted it saying, "I'm going to make sure Aaron Rodgers plays another 10 years. Way to ingratiate yourself to the Jets fan base."
I mean, this guy, he's not the same kind of back as Breece Hall. I mean, he's a bigger back. He's a pounder. He runs downhill with authority. And I don't know that he clarified with the writers what he's squatting right now as far as weights. But he said in high school, he squatted 610 pounds. Not too bad, he said. You're right, not too bad. He hang clean 405. So the numbers for him maybe is the strength equation for him, as well as the things that a ball carrier will do, you know, catch, run, block. So, you know, you got to like that part of his game. He says he tries to punish defenders. He wants to create contact more than take it and absorb it. You like all those things. Again, talk is cheap, but he was certainly a dynamic runner in college, and he's ready to join the Jets and move into the backfield along with Breece Hall, who, as we said, different kind of runner. The kid could be on the verge of greatness. I mean, just unless people suddenly figure out how to defense Breece Hall, this guy is a 70-yard run or reception waiting to happen. He's done it 5 times, I believe, which ties in for the most in Jets franchise history. I think Freeman McNeil had 5 70-yard plays, or maybe it was 6. I've already forgotten. It's up there to the point where Breece Hall is already, in some categories, one of the best running backs in Jets history. And he hasn't, I mean, he's barely played a full season since he missed, well, he's played a little more than a full season, but he missed half the season as a rookie, played the whole year last year, but was kind of kept in check, maybe a little bit of a, you know, kept on a leash a little bit just because he was coming back from the ACL. But the kid is phenomenal. I can't wait to see what he does, and I can't wait to see how he meshes with Braylon Allen in the backfield.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Randy, Braylon Allen is a guy who should help protect the quarterback for the New York Jets. The quarterback right now is Aaron Rodgers, but after Aaron Rodgers, maybe there's a succession plan, because at number 171, the Jets drafted Jordan Travis, the quarterback out of Florida State. His buddy, Jermaine Johnson, who played with him at Florida State, was lobbying the coaches and the general manager to try and get his buddy Jordan Travis in here. And I suppose that lobbying paid off, but I think it was more what they saw from Jordan Travis, both in person on the top 30 visit and, of course, on tape. Jordan Travis now will sit behind Aaron Rodgers, learn from him. He's recovering from an injury. Jets fans excited about this pick, and when you go back and look at his journey, you can see why. This is somebody who really did a lot to help put Florida State football back on the map. People are quick to forget that Florida State would have been in the college football playoff if Jordan Travis hadn't gotten hurt. That's still a very controversial decision by the committee, because they were undefeated and probably still should have gone to the college football playoff. But if he hadn't gotten hurt, no question, Florida State would have gone to the college football playoff. He did a ton to resurrect that program back to where many people thought it should have been, which is, of course, a championship contender.
Yeah, you know, we did the position previews, and we talked about this last time I was on with you, Scott, with how we worked the previews this year. And I took a top 10 mock draft. It was more of a top 10 quarterback mock draft. And he went down the list of, I think, 12 guys eventually. This is Jacob Kemiker. I give him proper credit from the Sporting News. And in his 10th spot, number 6, 6th rounder, 185th overall, he had the Jets taking Jordan Travis. And I kind of like that pick, too, before I even saw his top 10. And the reason why is, I mean, you just have to look at what he accomplished during his time at Florida State. I mean, when he got hurt, they were 11-0. They had a number 5. I think they went to number 5 national ranking after that game. He had his accuracy was decent, 63-64%. And 20 touchdown passes to 2 interceptions. And that was his last year. And so my question is, why the 6th round? I mean, obviously he was hurt, and that dropped his draft status a bit. But, I mean, this kid in the previous years proved, you know, his numbers were fine and worthy of certainly a higher pick. So I think the Jets did very well to get him in the fifth round. And, you know, that was another part of the plan as far as, you know, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are not going to unveil the whole plan for everybody until after the draft, and maybe not even then. But, you know, one of the things that everybody kind of thought, well, they're going to need somebody to back up Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor and eventually to become that quarterback of the future. And I think the question now is, how good is Jordan Travis? How quickly can he become healthy? And how long can he wait if Aaron Rodgers, in fact, says he's going to play 3 or 4 more years? I don't know if that's, in fact, what's going to happen, but they've got a pretty decent guy as a rookie quarterback coming in, learning from two very good, one great and one very good backup who have a lot of experience in the NFL. And so I'm very optimistic about his drafting by the Jets, as well as a lot of the fans are.
Then the next pick after that, another running back. Confusing, because the Jets obviously have Breece Hall, who's going to get the lion's share of the touches, and they've got Israel Banacanda, who they drafted last year, and then they took Braylon Allen in the fourth round. But I think this probably means that Israel Banacanda has a real fight on his hands in training camp. Isaiah Davis comes in as the second running back in this draft at pick number 173 in the fifth round.
Yeah, I don't know as much about Davis. I didn't write that news story, but it's an interesting selection because you look at the Jets' backfield, and Breece Hall is the king. I mean, he's the acknowledged bell cow back, as Herm Edwards always would call his lead tailback. And you know, then you got Braylon Allen coming in as a possible number two. He's going to certainly, you know, compete for that position. Looks like he's got a good shot there. And then you have the third down back, the third back on the depth chart, Abanaconda, and now Isaiah Davis. And, you know, they're going to be competing for reps. And we're going to see that in training camp. That could be one of the most interesting training camp battles, is who's going to win that spot and move into the possibly the very important third down back role. I think Abanaconda can do it, but he did not get a lot of visibility last year. He's going to have to fight for that position and battle Isaiah Davis for it.
Final pick in the fifth round for the Jets. In fact, the final pick in the fifth round period, Quantez Stiggers, cornerback out of the CFL. This was a strange pick to me in the sense that I didn't realize that you had to use a draft pick on somebody from the CFL. You learn something new every day, Randy, because what I found out was Quantez Stiggers never played college football. And so if you play in another league and never play college football, you still have to be drafted. I would have thought that if you played some sort of professional football, you wouldn't need to be drafted. But indeed, the Jets use a draft pick on him. A heartwarming story, a kid who walked away from football because he had to take care of his family. So he ended up not going to college to play the sport. And then he comes back and plays in a fan-controlled league, gets noticed over there, winds up in the CFL, and wins Defensive Rookie of the Year out of nowhere at 22 years old. Already becoming a fan favorite on social media, seems like a lively personality. And he has already a mentor that apparently is ready to take him under his wing in Sauce Gardner. Quantez Stiggers joked during an interview that Sauce Gardner is going to get annoyed at him with all the questions he's going to ask and all the knowledge he's going to try to soak up. And Sauce responded by saying, "Hey, I'm here for whatever you want, whatever makes the team better, whatever makes you better. Come ask me as many questions as you want." So he should be a fun one.
Yeah, he did sound fun on his interview with the writers after his drafting. And yeah, that was an interesting angle. I think basically it comes down to, did he use up his eligibility, whether he went to college or not? And I was not familiar with the CFL exception rule, I guess. But since he used up his eligibility, he was eligible to be drafted, even though he played in the CFL for a year. And as you mentioned, the fan-controlled football league, which is another, you know, something maybe people don't know about, a 7-on-7 league that I mean, let's back up to, you know, when he was coming out of high school. His father passed away, and he said he needed some mental health time there. And also he needed to help his family get through the tough times without their father and husband. And so he did stay home and did not go to school, go to college. But his mother, he said she enrolled him in the fan controlled football league out of Atlanta, which is where he's from. So he thanks her. He thanks his family. Thanks God, of course, for all of the things that have fallen his way, and for getting them back into football in a kind of a dip your toe in the water kind of way. But he did very well in the FCF. He had 5 interceptions that year. I believe he led the league. And then he went to the CFL, and he became the most outstanding rookie of the CFL last year with another 5 picks while playing with the Toronto Argonauts. So he definitely has NFL ball skills. That's been said about him by scouts who have watched his video. He's a gamer. He's sincere. He wants to do his best. He's certainly not coming in with a swelled head. I mean, he is a very modest and eager to please young man. And as you say, if he's under Sauce Gardner's wing, he's under a damn good wing, almost as big as that, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, Buffalo's wing, if you know what I mean. It was an interesting pick. I'm sure a lot of people didn't know him, although he was on board. So, I mean, he was available for scouting. It's not like he was completely out of the blue. But he looks like the kind of guy, and as we've discussed, because of the portal and because of players moving around so much and the young players not migrating to the draft as much as they used to before their eligibility or before their senior year was up, maybe some of the picks in day 3 for all teams were a little bit underwhelming, at least as far as their public profile. So you got a Quantez Stiggers who, you know, who knew? But he looks like he might have what they need in a role that he can fill, because certainly the Jets' corners are well-stocked, as we know, with Sauce and DJ Reed and Michael Carter and, you know, a few others who are still there too. So I remember Brandon Echols still, I think he's still there, isn't he? He's, mm-hmm. he's becoming very good at picking off Tua Tagovailoa and going the route. So the Jets have a very good corners room, and they've added Quantez Stiggers to it, and we'll see what he can do. He could be somebody who, you know, comes from out of the dark and shows that he can handle this game as well as he can handle the CFL.
Randy, last but not least, Mr. Irrelevant, Jalen Key, the safety out of Alabama. The Jets had only had the last pick in the draft one other time, and the gentleman that they picked at the time, it was in the 1960s, decided to turn down the opportunity to play in the NFL, went into business instead, and became a CEO, a successful one at that. So that decision worked out for him, because back then it was a different ball game. Guys that were playing in the NFL weren't making life-changing money, so it wasn't the craziest thing in the world necessarily to turn down the NFL if you had other interests. These days, turning down the NFL and the possibility of all that money would be crazy. I don't think Jalen Key is going to be turning down the Jets. I think he'll be fighting for a roster spot and trying to help the Jets at a position, safety, where they are very thin right now.
Yeah, you know, the guy you made reference to is Fred Zirkle. How many Jet fans remember Fred Zirkle from 1969, which was a part of the NFL Common Draft? They started in 68 before the leagues fully merged, AFL and NFL. So Zirkle was drafted by the Jets last overall in 1969 before Mr. Irrelevant became relevant, because I believe that it started in the mid-70s. But the interesting thing about Zirkle is before you say, boy, he blew it. He could have joined a, you know, a Super Bowl team and helped him, you know, go into the 70s a little better than they did. Fred Zirkle, he was a DT for Duke. He was drafted 442nd that year because they had 17 rounds in 1969. And they drafted into the 400s at that time. So, Jalen Key, 257, a little bit of a difference. All those 150 guys after Key have been signed up in this past week as undrafted free agents by all the teams in the NFL. Jalen Key comes in. He can help that safety position out. Jordan Whitehead left the team after two seasons. Fairly decent. I mean, some fans, not big fans of Jordan, but a lot of others, including Robert Saleh, were very complimentary of what he could do and led the team with, I think it was four picks this past season. He's gone, and so there's an opening there. Chuck Clark, who was injured all of last year, seemed like a very good veteran acquisition from the Ravens when they signed him before the season last year. But he's going to get that shot to take over the one safety spot next to Tony Adams. And then behind them, you got Ashton Davis and maybe another spot for a guy like Jalen Key. So that, you know, once he's done with all of the honors, the parties, the motorcade through, what is it, Huntington Beach, is it, in California? after he gets done with all that and comes into camp, he's going to have a shot to make this roster too. And so in general, it seems to me like it's what we like to do as writers and as commentators is affix those grades to this draft or any draft. And, we're not going to know for 2 years how this draft really should be graded. But right now it sounds to me like, you know, the Jets, I don't know, B plus, A minus, maybe an A. I don't know. They certainly answered the questions that they needed answered after having a very good free agency signing period where they answered a lot of more pressing questions so that they left themselves flexibility in this draft. And, you know, then they became very flexible. And I don't know if you want to get into one more thing on Joe Douglas and his, Trader Joe persona, but the flexibility continued into day three, where he made a total of six trades. One of the trades was the John Franklin Myers to Denver trade. So I kind of put that aside. That was a draft pick for next, was it 26, I think. But five of those trades were draft picks for draft picks. And so Joe was kind of like playing the piano there in the day three, up and down. He bailed out of a few spots so that teams like Minnesota, Philly, San Francisco could move up and get players they wanted. Then he moved down and he got players that he wanted. And, as far as we know, he got the players that were on his board high and that he didn't feel were good values at the certain spots that he picked. And so he went down and got them and picked up some more selections over the course of day three. And as we talked about earlier, a pretty good deal for, going, talking to Detroit and the Lions saying, okay, we want your four. Here's our three for next year. Now, is it going to be a high three? Probably not. Lions seem to be primed for, going into the postseason and doing quite well these days. But a third rounder for a fourth rounder? Yeah, I'll take that any day of or any draft of the year that comes up. So in general, I think Joe Douglas did a good job. And, he needs to know, he knows, and Robert Saleh knows that job is done. And now the real job is before them. They need to win games and they need to get into the postseason, which they haven't done in a long time, even before Joe and Robert arrived. So good job now. And now it's on to the hard work of the offseason and the preseason.
The job of the draft and free agency is mostly done because there are still going to be some moves that could be made during the summer. But for the most part, the heavy lifting is over. Now, as you said, Randy, the winning has to start, because if it doesn't, it's not going to be pretty for Joe Douglas or Robert Saleh. Randy Lang, covering the Jets over at NewYorkJets.com. Thank you so much for coming on and breaking down the numbers on the Jets draft picks from the 2024 draft class. Really appreciate it. Make sure that you check out everything Randy's doing over at NewYorkJets.com. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. We've got some awesome All-22 breakdowns on our channel, including quite a few of them. Of the rookies that we just talked about, youtube.com/playlikeajet. Go watch the Thunder from Down Under break down the Jets' latest additions. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.